What's happening? Dieter Kurtenbach here with Logan Murdoch. This is the Warriors HQ podcast post All-Star Game edition. Warriors get back to practice today, Wednesday, playing the Sacramento Kings on Thursday. But really, we're talking about the final 25 games of the regular season as it leads in to another Warriors postseason run. And presumably, we can still say that, right? Another Warriors championship?
I think so. I mean, unless they, you know, somehow lose to the Kings in the first round, we'll see.
We'll have to get to that one after Thursday's game because you know I love me some Sacramento Kings. Yeah. And they are fun as hell to watch. Seemed like everyone was pretty well rested, excited to get back to it. Warriors scrimmage today, which is fairly rare given the state of the NBA season, but we'll see how that deals with their rhythm for the Kings. I wouldn't put too much stock in Thursday's game, all things considered. What we're looking for now is the Warriors kind of locking into that postseason mode while also maintaining health going into the postseason. That's a weird balance to strike for the coaching staff and for the players. What was your immediate takeaway listening to Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala talk today about how they're going to handle that, Logan?
I think that they it starts on the defensive end, right? I think that this is, quite frankly, of all the championship teams as a whole, this is probably their worst defensive performance during that run since Steve Kerr's been there.
For sure.
They've shown spurts. They've shown that they can do really good things. I think the Utah game really stands out to me, specifically Draymond's performance in that game.
And, right.
I think the biggest thing that they're going to have to get back to, they're going to have to get back to playing championship-level defense, and they can't, you know, slack from that standard going into this last stretch, because it's going to take that. It's going to take focus. It's going to take intensity, and it's going to take defense, and that's something that they're going to have to work.
Big question in that isn't so much, well, there's two big ones, and I think this goes off of maybe the two big takeaways of the day. Number one, how healthy did Draymond Green get during his five-day sojourn to Mexico? I don't know if you can really say, oh, 5 days, he's 100% healed, but if anyone could have used the rest, no question, it was Draymond Green. And the second thing, too, is how do you get DeMarcus Cousins into game shape? Because, listen, he's been with this team now for more than a month. He's not there. And 25 games is not a lot. Obviously, it's more than what he's played already. But you have to wonder, I mean, what is his 100% for this Warriors team? And can you count on him to get to that point before the playoffs start? Because once the playoffs start, that's sort of everything's set in stone. You're not going to expect more. You're not going to hope for more from Boogie when the games really start to matter. So how do those two things juxtapose, I think, are going to be the big storylines of the final 25 games. And there's no real sure things there because, as you said, Draymond is the key to the defense. But if Boogie's out there and still looking lost, it makes Steve Kerr's rotations a little bit more different. It changes the bench dynamic massively. And ultimately, it's just going to negatively affect the Warriors' defense.
Well, Steve said today that, and I'm sure you would agree with this, Dieter, that Boogie looked a lot like he was in training camp. And he was tired over those last few games.
He looked gassed.
And it showed on his, from his shooting percentage just to, you know, some of the defensive rotations that, you know, he was gassed.
Or lack thereof.
But you could kind of see that it wasn't that he wasn't trying. It was that he didn't have the ability. It's that he was gassed. And I wonder, how the break is going to be good for him in getting that back, because he did play a training camp worth of games, but then there's this long break. And I think the biggest thing you really want is, you know, repetition and things like and things like that. And I wonder how this break is going to affect him.
There's something to be said for the break being a positive, but I agree with you kind of leading into that. It might be a negative in the fact that now he's out of rhythm. You get 5 days. I don't know what he did during that 5 days. He didn't talk to us today. Not a KD situation, just he didn't talk today.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to talk shoot around tomorrow. Or when this comes out, he'll be talking.
Credit to Boogie for this. He's been known to be sort of standoffish with the media. He's been nothing but great. Yeah,
great.
No, he knows that this is a job interview for next year, and he's nailing it thus far, at least off the court. And I imagine the on the court stuff will come. I think we have faith that it will come. It's just you got to see it before you can believe it. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing for this break to come. It has a lot to do with what he's done. I think it will have a lot to do with just overall how the Warriors come out, because one of the big issues that I've noticed with Boogie in these first few games, he looked seamless in a lot of ways, but man, some of the, you know, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, I mean, they're mid-season form. They know exactly where they're at, and they are just humming on all cylinders. This is something that the Warriors have kind of said have been a problem when it comes to younger players. It's hard to get those guys integrated when you have such high-powered, elite-level players who are just cruising. And so when you have a guy like Boogie, who he isn't a young player by any stretch of the imagination, he's a, you know, he's a veteran, but he's got to get into it. These guys aren't slowing down for Boogie, even though they kind of try that every now and again. Ultimately, do you think that Boogie is going to get there in these final 25 games? Do you think that we're going to see something resembling 100% DeMarcus Cousins, or is maybe do we have to lower those expectations a bit?
No, I think you can. I mean, you can get to see, just because he played so well in the beginning, I feel like if you can get, I think he's played well and his ability shows well. I think the biggest question is going to be his wind and how much he can stay in the game without getting tired, and how much rope he gets from Rick and Steve, Rick Calabrini and Steve Kerr, because, you know, he wants to put, we know this in the games, he wants to push that limit to see how he is physically, and I think that's what it's going to be, how much he can push himself, because we've seen he has the ability to play like a top 10 big in this league. He has the offensively. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it remains to be seen how it is, but I think he can reset.
You're of that belief. I think that he gets there too. I think that it probably takes 10-15 games, and these final 10 games come through.
I think a better question is, will he do enough to warrant that deal in the summer? Will he just have enough time to just get to that point where, oh man, or does he do like what's been reported out there that he might consider another year here?
That's a good question. I think ultimately we'll have to see how he performs in the playoffs. We all know that the playoffs have somewhat of an outsized we saw what Jason Tatum did in the playoffs last year, right? And it's a completely different scenario. But Jason Tatum has one great playoff series after averaging like 12 points per game, and now Jason Tatum's a superstar. So if Boogie comes out, certainly he has the cast to make him look really, really good. If he comes out in the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals and he just goes off and he's the MVP of a series, or he's a total standout player, I don't think the GMs in this league are smart enough to operate with caution. My question on that is, okay, even if he does get his wind, is he going to be fully capable of executing the defensive game plan the way that the Warriors want to do it? Because what we've seen, in addition to him falling a little bit, you know, not being able to kind of get over that hill, right? What we've also seen is a lot of teams just targeting it. That's on defense.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's a solution, or if that's a problem that has a solution. And they're certainly not going to figure out in 25.
Especially if they play
games.
The Rockets, or if they...
He can't play against the Rockets.
Yeah. He might start against the Rockets. I don't know if he's going to finish games against the Rockets. He might do it. It might be how... He might really be the David West and might not play.
Exactly. I mean, and that's a legit thing. I mean, he right now has the mobility of Zaza Pachulia and sort of the defensive acumen of David West. And that's not, you know, David West was a very valuable player. He was arguably the Warriors' best center last year until the playoffs, but it's all offensive. And when teams target you and they're going to run, especially a team like Houston that is just, they're in no way pragmatic, or they're the most pragmatic, however you want to look at it, they're just going to run the same play over and over and over again, if you can even call it a play. That's an issue. Now,
is it a win for Boogie? I mean, what is it if he has to come back next year? Like, if there's a.
It's a win for the Warriors.
Definitely a win for the Warriors, because he'll have a full training camp to focus on a full summer to focus on basketball and not rehabilitation. But
and that'd be concerning, though, right?
If
like, not for the Warriors, obviously, but for Boogie, if, you know, he bought it this year, he wanted to get on the court earlier than the Warriors wanted to put him on the court, and they sort of saved him from himself, because you can see, I mean, he's still not 100%. So obviously, God only knows what he would have been if he had come back when he wanted to come back. But man, like, if Boogie comes back another year, maybe this injury is, in some ways, you know, it's certainly career defining. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is, you know, career ruining in some ways if he has to come back, because now he has to, one, you're just losing another year of your theoretical prime. Two, you're showing that this injury is probably more serious than you let on initially. And three, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to obviously see what happens next year, wherever he might be. But man, you want to get that money ASAP, because the more the less you show, the more you can fool people, right? And if they have, you know, a full season with him next year and he never gets back to that Sacramento DeMarcus Cousins, man, I don't think he gets nine figures. And whereas immediately when he comes in, when he plays with, you know, four all-stars and is just, you know, out of this world in that game against the Clippers the first couple of games, like, you could write him in for nine figures. So that's something to really chew on down the line, but it is something we have to kind of keep in mind going forward here. Like, DeMarcus's number one goal
is to get out.
As ridiculous as this sounds, like, he's all aboard and he's pulling in the right direction, and he'll do whatever it takes.
The team's goal for him is to have him play good enough to where he can play his way out of town.
But he's not about, I mean, it's so strange. I don't think his number one goal, and no one would ever say that it should be, his number one goal is to not win a championship. His number one goal is to sell himself to 29 other teams in the NBA and get a nine-figure contract from one of those teams, or, you know, a two-year massive deal from one of those other teams. And right now, that might be in a bit of flux, truth be told.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to go somewhere else real quick.
Let's
do it. We only have a quick time. Did you watch any? Did you see any highlights from the All-Star game?
I watched a little bit of the Skills Challenge, and
whoa!
I know,
you made a vow that you weren't going to watch anything.
I know, but it was on at this Airbnb I was staying at up in Sonoma, and it's like, well, this is better than whatever else is going on. So I saw a little bit of I don't know, what is it, the one that Jokic almost won, or then Tatum had the half court shot. What is that called? The Skills Challenge?
Yeah, it's called the Skills.
I thought the entire thing was called the Skills Challenge.
No, it's called All-Star Saturday Night.
Okay, fair enough. Where they show off skills.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see?
I saw the bounce pass.
Did you see the bounce pass from Stephen Curry to Giannis Antetokounmpo?
It's perhaps the coolest alley-oop I've ever seen.
Do you think it's a play or a sign of things to come? Come play this game.
When I saw the play on Twitter, I just tweeted out metaphors.
Yes,
with
you did.
The play.
No, not just
the
metaphors.
Ball bounced over Kevin Durant's head and to Giannis. And I kind of, my main thesis for the season has been joy over lawyer basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate what James Harden is doing. I think it's unwatchable crap. And we've seen the struggle the Warriors have with sort of this individualistic play that Kevin Durant can sometimes bring to the table that sucks a lot of the life and verve out of the Warriors, whereas Steph, when he eats, everybody eats. And that's just been a theme that I've been keeping my eye on, and it was so fun to watch a guy like Giannis like appreciate that. And he plays in a really cool system in Milwaukee, and ultimately I don't think Giannis is leaving Milwaukee, because I think that they have the pieces there to be really successful for a long time, so long as he's there. Man, he would absolutely have a blast here. And I do think that it's an interesting juxtaposition to where you have a guy like Kevin Durant who has never seemed more unhappy. But remember when he came here and he didn't really feel like he was saying the right stuff. He was saying the stuff like, man, I'm really excited. This is going to be like, you know, graduate school for basketball. I'm going to learn how to play the right way and all this stuff. It's like getting a Stanford MBA in basketball. He does not feel that same way anymore. Or maybe he does, and he's showing a really weird way.
Did you just think Giannis would just be?
Man, Giannis is a kid who grew up in the streets of Athens, was playing second division Greek basketball like 5 years ago. He is not someone who, yes, he has had to fight and scrap and do all of those things his entire life. Very similar to Kevin in some regards, though, it was on different continents. But man, like, I feel like he appreciated it. And I think that he had like an aha moment when Steph had that pass. You saw his face afterwards and you're like, damn.
And they've always had a sort of chemistry, right? Remember when like last year he dunked over him and Steph fell down?
I think it's just respect. Like, Steph is the opposite of Giannis in some regards, but they have a lot of similarities, right? Like, Steph is not in any way an athletic specimen, whereas Giannis is just perfectly built. Like, you couldn't build a better basketball player, a lot like KD. I just find the juxtaposition of the two things very interesting. And I wonder if that will get, you know, Giannis's mind going about maybe there is a better option here. Though I just don't think that his wiring is such to where it's like, man, I got to get out of Milwaukee. I think he's really happy in Milwaukee.
I think, and they've done right by him as of the last few years.
He's going to get whatever money he wants. And he said that he wants to stay in Milwaukee. I mean, I don't think that there's any sort of strife there, like Anthony Davis in New Orleans, where it's a, you know, half-ass organization that doesn't have any interest in actually winning basketball games. And while they have a good coach, they've just made deal after deal. They've gone for broke. This place, you know, Milwaukee's hired one of the best coaches in the NBA. They've gone out and spent money every year. They got a brand new arena, all this stuff. Like, there's reasons to believe that you know, there's more reasons to believe not than not that Giannis is going to stick around in Milwaukee. That said, it is a reminder that some people are wired to really enjoy the Stephen Curry experience. Okay. And I think Giannis is part of that. I think there are a lot of other guys who are like that. And if KD does leave, and let's just be totally honest here, all the evidence points to him leaving right now. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. That doesn't mean that evidence is surefire. But the writing has been on the wall now for months, and now it's being spray painted on the wall. And man, it's gonna.
It was also a hell of a juxtaposition that he was the only Warrior on that team. Oh no, he wasn't.
Never mind. That's the thing. You can handle it two different ways, right? Clay's Clay. Clay's the best. But like Kevin's got a bunch of different feelings about it. And that's his prerogative. That's his life. Who's to say that he can't? And you know, if he does go to New York, more power to him. Like, it's not as if, you know, he's a snake to the Warriors in any way, shape,
not
or form.
All.
He got what he needed out of this. It sucks that it didn't work out long term, but the Warriors are going to be fine. Lord knows they're going to be printing money next year in San Francisco. Hopefully Kevin finds what he's looking for in that regard. And I think everyone will be able to look at it in a positive light down the line. He'll still get his number retired.
Statue,
stuff like that. And if he sticks around, the Warriors have zero problems. But it'll be a weird transition, right? I loved Marcus's piece about, you know, what would happen if Giannis did come. It sacrifices Draymond. You know, that's where I draw the line on anything.
On it. Well, yeah. Except for Kevon. Would you sacrifice Kevon for Draymond?
No, Draymond stays above all else. I have like, there's like a metaphysical thing going on in my mind when it comes to winning and Draymond Green. So that's just not a karma that I want to mess with in any way, shape, or form when it comes to success for the Golden State Warriors. It's Steph and it's Draymond. And listen, I think the world of Clay, but man, like those are the two. Those are the cornerstones. And they've changed the game. They changed the culture. That's it. And how Steve interacts with both of them is so interesting. I could go on for hours about this. Big fan of Giannis's game. If the Warriors can get him in 2 or 3 years, that would be a great move, even with Kevin Durant light years ahead, all that crap.
Light years away.
Yeah, light years away. Yeah, we'll see where we're at. Maybe the asteroid comes between now and then.
All right, man. Well, that was a fun episode, dude.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I think it was a fun episode, especially, you guys aren't here to see this right now, but we are in the Oakland Marriott.
Yeah, you heard it probably.
Yeah, we were in the Oakland Marriott on the fourth floor where there's nothing but elevators and like car parking. This is the glamorous life of a journalist.
Yeah, let's go eat a 7-Eleven hot dog and write our stories.
Holla back.